بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Those brothers who have finished partaking of their meal are kindly requested to come close to the minbar. Even the children who are in the Jamaat Khana are kindly requested to make their way close to the minbar. Inshallah, whilst we are waiting for the rest of the brothers to finish off their meals, I would like to kindly invite and request Hafiz Muhammad Sidat Sahib to come to the front and render some verses from the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That when the Quran Kareem is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا, listen attentively, lend an attentive ear, وَأَنصِتُوا, and remain silent, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may shower His mercy upon you. So alhamdulillah, we have Hafiz Ab now with us, who will inshaAllah be reciting some verses from the Qur'an Kareem. جزاكم الله خيرا. So we got plenty of time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين. يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakumullah khairan to Hafizah for that beautiful recitation. Some very powerful verses he recited. I'll share some of the meanings of some of the verses that were read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah says, O you who believe, save yourselves, anfusakum, wa ahlikum nara, and save your family members from the fire. So from this ayah we learn that the responsibility of the upbringing and nurturing of our children primarily lies upon us as parents. As fathers, we will be responsible for the tarbiyah and the ta'leem of our children and our spouses. and our family. This responsibility primarily falls upon us. As the man of the house, this is our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to question the ulama, the imams, the teachers and the ustad of the madrasa. No. The primary responsibility for teaching our children the basics of our deen lies upon us as fathers. We've outsourced it to the ulama and to the imams, but we've got to realize that it is our responsibility, and the teachers at the madrasas are doing us a favor by helping us fulfill this responsibility. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارَ وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, the fuel of which is men and stones. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ, stern, powerful, strong angels. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ, who never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, and they do as they have been commanded. And the second section, portion of the Quran, which Hafiz has beautifully recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, O you who believe, adopt taqwa, have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, and every soul should see what he has sent forth for tomorrow. Allah uses the word غَدْ. غَدًا means tomorrow. And Allah ta'ala is referring to the hereafter, the day of judgment. Meaning the day of judgment is so close, it's as if it's going to take place tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, again Allah ta'ala tells us, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single action which you do. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that the occupants of the fire and the inhabitants of Jannah can never ever be equal. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, the inhabitants, the people of Jannah, are the ones that are truly successful. They are the faizeen. Faiz means the successful one. And how do we define success? We define success in many different ways. But we need to see how the creator of this world, of this dunya, defines success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازُ, that the person, the individual, who is diverted from the fire of Jahannam and given admittance, entry into Jannah, then he has become successful. This is success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about how powerful this Qur'an is. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, that if we were to reveal this Qur'an عَلَى جَبَلْ, upon a mountain, such a powerful and strong, huge creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you would most certainly see it humble and crumble out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has given us this Qur'an. Now, so many of us have memorized so many chapters of the Qur'an, alhamdulillah. Our hearts are so powerful that it's able to bear the power of this Qur'an. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا, the mountains all refused to accept. وَأَشْفَقَنَ مِنْهَا, they were fearful. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, but Allah ta'ala has kept so much qudra, so much power in our hearts, in our bodies, that we are able to absorb this Qur'an. Alhamdulillah. Now I think the brothers will have finished partaking of their meals. I kindly requested to come closer. Now inshallah, moving on to our next item is an open Q&A. Alhamdulillah, we have visit Mufti Sajid Sahib amongst us. MashaAllah, Mufti Sahib went to Darulum Zakaria in South Africa. And alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib spent many years studying, and he is here within our midst today. And we have many ulama-i kiram, alhamdulillah. So these are great opportunities. You know, we have loads of questions. And as Mona mentioned earlier, that it shouldn't be that we turn straight to Google. No, alhamdulillah. Some of our muftiyana kiram are more than capable. So utilize these opportunities, these gatherings. And inshallah, we invite Hazrat Mufti Sahib to come forward. And brothers can forward their questions. Brothers, again, kindly requested to come closer. Jazakumullah khairan.
Thank you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Any questions?
Today in Isha, what three times prayed? Because I had, but I missed the rakat. So you know, when you re-pray that rakat, do you read Alam Nashra or Surah Alaq?
Okay. So the brother is asking that he missed the rakat, and in the first rakat he missed, and in the second rakat Surah 3 was recited, right? So now when he stands up to complete his salah, then should he follow the order of the Quran, meaning should he recite a surah which is after Surah 3, or can he recite anything before that as well? Mullah Muhammad, what's the answer? I'll have to check and tell you, inshallah. If any of the ulama know the answer with yaqeen, then they can help out, inshallah. Qari Sahib? Hafiz Muhammad, you did it in Quduri. No? Ji. Ji, doctor.
The exact mileage for Qasr al-Namaz, the increase in variation, and also regarding the wearing of the socks, the leather, the kufayn.
So the question is that the exact mileage for Qasr Salah. The exact mileage for Qasr Salah, as we were taught, is in reality there is no exact mileage. The Asal Fatwa is when a person travels the duration of 3 days and three nights. And this is established from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the fuqaha have mentioned that according to their, not only their calculations, but practically they've traveled for 3 days and three nights on foot. And they came to the conclusion that a maximum a person can travel is 48 miles. So this is what our Ustad Mufti Tahir Sahib, Hafidhahullah, mentioned, that the Asal Fatwa is 3 days and three nights. And then when the ulama, our Akabir ulama of Deoband as well, they actually traveled for 3 days and three nights to see what distance it comes to. And it turned out to be 48 miles. So that's where 48 miles came from. There are other opinions as well, but this is the dominant view, and this is the opinion that we follow. And the second question was, sorry? Okay, so if someone is wearing the leather sock, then they are allowed to do masah. So after, they have to do wudu. After they do their full wudu, washing their feet as well, then they wear the khuf. After that, whenever their wudu breaks, meaning something takes place which normally breaks wudu, then from that time their calculation starts. So if they are muqim, meaning they are residents at home, then they can keep it on for 1 day, and for a traveler 3 days.
You said from the time wudu breaks.
Yeah.
The question he asks is,
person may read whatever he wishes. He won't take into account what the imams have recited. You can recite.
Okay. So for the first question, which the brother asked over here, so he may read whatever he wants. He doesn't need to follow the tartib and the order. Gee.
So the 48 miles, is that by a radius? Or, for example, if it shows 48 miles on Google Maps, is that enough?
No, it's 48 miles of your travel. Yeah, any other questions? During salah, if you are in ruku and the imam goes into sajda, whilst you are in ruku, is your salah counted? So normally a person would follow the imam. So if you are still in ruku and then the imam says, Sami'allahu liman hamidah, he goes into qawma, then you should follow him. And you should also go in qawma. But if for some reason you are still in ruku' and the imam was super fast, or for whatever reason you still remained in ruku' and then you got up and you got the qawma and then went into sajda, then your salah is valid. But you can't go directly from ruku' to sajda. If you miss a rak'ah, what do you pray while sitting down in the qaida before salah, before salam? So you read the tahiyyat, and then after that, when the imam finishes, you get up. What is the ruling on the gala, or these galas and events we see today with no segregation, which a lot of the community go to? The ruling is clear. The ruling is clear. If there is an event which is a mixed event, there is no segregation, and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken and violated openly, then that's not a permissible event to go to. And if someone says, what's the difference between that and going shopping? Because that's the next question that comes to mind. Then the simple answer is that it's very, very different. One is you're going for entertainment, you're going for a thing which is not a need and necessity. And shopping, normally a sane person or a practicing Muslim would only go shopping when there is a need or necessity. A Muslim just doesn't go shopping for the sake of it. Unfortunately, many have this habit, but that's not what a Muslim would do, because a Muslim protects his time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith that the most beloved places in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid, and the most hated places in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the marketplaces. So if it's a need and necessity, and segregation is not possible, then there is some leeway. But in these events, mixed events that take place, everyone knows that it's not a need and necessity, number one. Number two, Muslims, unfortunately, dressed inappropriately, the satr is uncovered, the hair is the part of the satr. Hair is part of the satr. Hair is not something that you can walk around exposing. So there are many things. These events are not permissible. Attending them are not permissible as well. And if someone has attended, people make mistakes, and then the doors of tawbah are open. What is a Deobandi and how does it differ from other beliefs? A Deobandi is someone whose teachers are associated with the Darul Ulum Deoband, which is in India. So the chain of knowledge goes through the scholars of Deoband. That person is a Deobandi. And how does it differ from other beliefs? By other beliefs, I don't know what the questioner means, but the belief of or the aqidah of the ulama of Deoband is the same aqidah which is the aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And when a person calls himself Deobandi, normally it means that his teachers and their teachers and their teachers, that chain which goes all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, goes through the ulama of Deoband. And in simple terms, that's what a Deobandi is. What to do if you're fasting and accidentally eat something but you can still taste? So if you forgot that you are fasting, then then your fast does not break, meaning you completely forgot. But if you can still taste it, then I don't know, wash your mouth out, inshallah, and then that taste will go. What to do if your concentration is keep slipping in salah? See, concentration in salah is a difficult one, okay, because you need practice. And before everything, we need to be in the right mindset. You know, before a football game, some people, they come, you know, well prepared before. So they go to the bathroom 1 hour before. You know, they make sure that the popcorn or the crisps or whatever it is, everything is ready. Half an hour before, they, you know, the build up to the game and everything. And then they enjoy the game. Right? It's the same for salah. If we're coming in rushing, if we're coming in late, if we're busy in our worldly things, and then we're coming for our salah, then most likely our mind is not going to be in salah. So preparation beforehand is the most important step. To prepare physically and mentally that I am about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if this step is done correctly, then you will see that in salah, your concentration levels, inshallah, will go up. And the other ways to concentrate in salah, reflect on the meanings, etc. Some of the things. And even the meaning of the adhkar, which are recited in salah. They should be kept in mind as well. They are small, small adhkar. Everyone can learn those, inshallah. Is trading forex gold halal? Online forex is not halal for many reasons, especially gold, because one of the conditions for exchanging gold that it has to be on spot. The exchange has to take place on spot. That's one thing, and the amount has to be exactly the same. So 1 kg of gold will be exchanged for 1 kg of gold. That amount has to be the same. It can't be 1.5 kgs or 2 kgs. If it's silver for gold, then the amount doesn't need to be the same, but the exchange still needs to be on spot. It needs to be done hand in hand, and this is explicit in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So currency exchange, all of that has to be on the spot. My time is nearly up, and the questions keep coming, mashallah. Can you explain the technique of istibra? How can we ensure we do not have urine drops in our underwear after urinating? So the techniques, there are many techniques of istibra. One is after you finish using the bathroom, then you cough, or you can put a tissue around and walk and then go back and clean yourself. Or you can also, some ulama have mentioned, squeeze the urine out, which is remaining inside. These are some of the techniques. A person takes care to do istibra, but after doing wudu, a few minutes later, one feels a drop of urine has come out, but is not sure. Does wudu need to be repeated? Wudu does not need to be repeated. There is a famous principle, al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak, that you have done wudu, you are sure of that, and now something doubt is creating a doubt in your mind. You just ignore that doubt and carry on. If you commit zina, how do you repent from it? How do you repent from it? The ulama have mentioned some conditions of repentance. First and foremost, you need to have regret in your heart. That's the first thing. The second thing is you need to have a firm intention, and that you are not going to commit that zina, that sin of zina, or that sin ever again. And number three, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the doors of repentance are always open. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. But the condition is that our tawbah needs to be sincere. Our tawbah needs to be sincere. And when we make tawbah, that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions in Riyadhu Salihin, At-tawbatu wajibatun min kulli dhanbin. The tawbah is wajib from min kulli dhanbin, every sin. Right? Tawbah is wajib from every sin. So you can't make tawbah and say, I'm only making tawbah from this one particular sin in my life. This is a mockery with the deen. No, when I make tawbah, then I make tawbah that I'm going to leave every sin that is in my life. And then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah. If you're in ruku or sajda and you have read an even amount of tasbih and the imam goes in the next action, do you read another tasbih to make it odd? Preferably if you can, and then follow the imam. What happens if we eat something and find out afterwards that the food is haram? Then you should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the ill effects of that haram are taken away and removed from you. What if you forget which rakah you are in on a regular basis? Then we need to practice. You know, practice makes perfect, like they say. We need to practice, and we need to have the concentration and devotion. Normally, in the third rakah, people get confused, the third and fourth. So be extra careful at that time. Sajda sahwa, when does it need to be performed? When you miss or delay a wajib? Can we celebrate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birthday? We should do what the Sahaba did. Our role models are the Sahaba. So if we stick to their practices and their ways, then we will be safe, inshallah. What if the route differs? Example, Batley to Blackburn, 48 miles. distance in straight line differs from the route. It depends on the route that you take. So if you take the route which is more than 48 miles, then you become a musafir. Do you have to pray the surahs the imam prayed in qiraah if you miss a rakat? That question was answered already. No. In the Haramain, is it permissible to join the salah from the prayer rooms in the hotels? Ittisalu sufuf is one of the conditions. So you have to join the saf, which is closest. You can't stay in your hotel and follow the imam from there. Not in our madhab anyway. Is it permissible to go to these Arab zikr majlises where drums are being used? Musical instruments are not permissible. But if it's daf and it depends on the type of zikr majlis, Allahu alam, but I haven't found these zikr majalis yet. When in an impure place, i.e. bathroom, what are you supposed to think about? Are you allowed to think of Allah qirat? No, you're not supposed to think about anything. You're supposed to be concentrating on what you're doing so that everything is clean and pure. If a person can't recall all of his sins and he needs tawbah, so that's why when we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, oh Allah, all the sins that I committed, I repent from. The sins that are public, that the sins that are private, the sins that I remember, the sins that I don't remember. Every type of sin I am making tawbah from. Any type of relationships with women before marriage, any type of relationship with non-mahram women is not permissible before marriage. And the sin of zina or anything which leads to zina is very, very severe. There are many warnings in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it leads to corruption on the land. Corruption in societies, corruption in families. So if we want to preserve ourselves, our dignity, our honor, and the honor of our community and our women folk, you know, one youngster came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that give me permission to commit zina. Imagine. One youngster came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, what? That, O Prophet of Allah, give me permission to commit zina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he answer him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, do you have a mother? Do you have a sister? Do you have aunts? Would you want anyone to have this type of illegal and illicit relations with your mother, with your daughter, with your sister? The answer is obviously no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you want to commit zina with that woman, with that girl, she is someone's daughter, she is someone's sister. Right? So the ghairat kicked in. The ghairat. Ghairat is such a word, there is no translation for it in the English language because the English don't have ghairat. So ghairat kicked in, And then all that urge and the desire that he had went away. A very beautiful way to explain. The Prophet ﷺ explained to him. There's a form, I think, four more questions. After that, we'll conclude. When you pray salah without the right intention, you have to redo the salah. You have to fix your intentions before salah. And if you have done it for sure, for the wrong intention, then you make tawbah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get the same reward for fasting on Shabi Barat if you fast on any other day of Sha'ban? The fast of Shabi Barat is not proven, even though it's common. Something which, in my humble opinion, should be avoided. Unless someone is fasting Ayyamul Bid, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th together. And in that way, you will get the reward of Ayyamul Bid as well. And then those three sunnah fasts will become sunnah. Is investing via the Wahid app halal? It has been promoted by many Muslim influencers. I don't know the full ins and outs of that, so I can't give you an answer. Leave it here, JazakAllah. But if you have questions, then you should approach your local imam. You know, alhamdulillah, we have a imam in every masjid and that have the basic or the ability to answer the most common questions. And a mufti is only needed for, you know, difficult questions. And sometimes even the mufti doesn't have the answers to, like in his mind, to the basic questions or to the difficult questions as well. But he knows where to find those answers because he is trained in that. So that's why many muftis, they don't do Q&As. Like our Ustad Mufti Ridaul Haq, when he came and they wanted to do Q&A, so he said that I don't do Q&As. Face to face. Why? Because many times, if I don't have the answer in my mind at that time, then it's possible that I say something which is wrong, and then that gets sent out. And it's better if you write down the questions, send it to me in my Darul Ifta, and then I will answer after looking at the books with references. So this is the actual way to do the question and answers. So if you have any questions, then contact the Darul Iftas or contact your local a'imma. Alhamdulillah, they are all qualified to answer, inshallah. JazakAllah.
Jazakumullah khairat, Mufti Sahib. Now for the next part of the event, connecting to the Qur'an and reciting the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an has promised many virtues, many rewards for those who recite the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who recite the book of Allah, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish salah, they perform salah with all its etiquettes and huquq. وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ, and they spend from that which we have provided them. Allah reminds us in this verse that whatever wealth we have and we possess is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. sirran wa alaniyatan, whether privately or publicly, yarjuna tijaratan lan tabu, and they are investing in a trade which will never suffer a loss, it will never crash. Liyuwaffiyahum ujurahum wa yazidahum min fadlihi, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them their reward in full, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them more out of His grace. Innahu ghafurun shakur. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving and very appreciative. One of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is Ash-Shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates every little that you do. So before we allow and allocate some time for us to recite some Quran individually, I'll share with you one hadith. And I want us to ponder over this hadith before we start to recite the Quran. A very famous hadith, a hadith which we hear often. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah that majtama'a qawmun fi baytin min buyutillah, that no group gather in the house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we are here today in the house in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yatluna kitab Allah, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa yatadarasunahu baynahum, and they mutually study the Quran. إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة, except that tranquility descends upon them. وغشيتهم الرحمة, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy envelopes them and covers them. وحفتهم الملائكة, and the angels they surround these gatherings. وذكرهم الله في من عنده, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these people to those that are close to you, mean to the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts about you to the angels. Allah mentions you by name, that look at this servant of mine, he is reciting the Quran. So when we now open the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we recite, think that whilst I am reciting these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering me. Such a great honor. What a great honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is remembering me, is remembering you. So alhamdulillah, we'll now give about 15 minutes until 20 past 10 for us to engage in some recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem. The month of Ramadan now drawing close, we should try to increase our recitation of the Qur'an. Ulama would mention that the month of Rajab is the month of planting the seed, and then Sha'ban is the month where you now water the seed, and Ramadan is the month to reap and harvest. It shouldn't be that Ramadan comes and now we are just getting started, no. By the time Ramadan enters, we should already be into the habit of reciting the Quran. So now we've got an opportunity around 15 minutes. Brothers are kindly requested to take a copy of the Quran al-Kareem and engage in some recitation of the Quran. Jazakumullah khairan. Also, if somebody would like to study and rectify and improve the recitation, alhamdulillah, Ali Sahib is available, other imams also available. If anybody wants to utilize this time and rectify and beautify the recitation, then the opportunity is also available. Maximize this opportunity. Jazakumullah khair. If I can kindly request everybody to finish off their recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone's recitation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, just as we have beautified the masjid with our recitation today, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also allow us to beautify our homes with the recitation and the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, Al-baytu idha tuliya fihi kitabullah. The house in which the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recited, ittasa'a bi ahli. That house then expands, it becomes comfortable, spacious for its occupants. وَكَثَرُ وَخَيْرُهُ. And the goodness in that household increases. وَحَضَرَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And the angels, they assemble in that house. وَخَرَجَتْ مِنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And the shayateen and the devils, they leave and they flee from that house. وَالْبَيْتُ الَّذِي لَمْ يُتْلَ فِيهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. As for the house in which the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not recited, ضَاقَ بِأَهْلِهِ. It becomes tight on its occupants. وَقَلَّ خَيْرُهُ. And its goodness decreases. وَتَنْكَبَّثُ عَنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And the angels, they leave. وَحَضَرَهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And the shayateen, then they come to this household. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the tawfiq to recite some verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Just one amal I can share with you, which we should try to practice every single night. A very easy amal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, مَنْ قَرَأَ بِالْآيَتَيْنِ مِنْ آخِرِ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ كَفَتَهُ. Or كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whosoever recites the last two verses of Surah al-Baqarah, then these two verses will be sufficient for him. Sufficient against what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't mention. But the ulama, the muhaddithun, they explain it to mean that they've given multiple explanations. One explanation is that if he reads just these two verses, then this will be sufficient if he doesn't even read any other portion of the Quran. Some have said that an qiyam al-layl, that if he isn't able to get up for tahajjud, these two verses will suffice. Some ulama have mentioned ansa'ir al-awrad, that if he is unable to recite many of the prophetic du'as which have been mentioned, then these two verses will suffice. Some ulama even give the opinion that even if he doesn't read Salatul Witr, then these two verses will suffice. But this is not our opinion, nor is it the preferred opinion. So please don't think that, I'm just going to read these two verses and I won't have to offer my Salatul Witr. No, Witr is wajib according to us, Hanafi, and we will have to read. So very, very powerful, simple amal, and the reward is so great. So, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. Until the end of the surah, these two verses will suffice for the person. Now, I would like to invite Sheikh Yusuf Sahib, who will inshallah be rendering a nasheed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A short seerah, nasheed, by Zaid Bika. Inshallah, please join in. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, لا إله إلا الله. In the name of the most merciful, for whom these words are said, we recount the noble seerah of his prophet Muhammad. الصلاة والسلام على النبي رسول الله. الصلاة والسلام على النبي رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. Join in, brothers. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله. It had been 600 years since the earth had seen a guide from the time of the Messiah who had not been crucified. But before he was raised up to Bani Israel, he said, After me will come a messenger whose name will be Ahmad. As-salatu was-salam ala nabi rasulillah. As-salatu was-salam ala nabi rasulillah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah. In the centuries that followed, humankind had gone astray from the message of the prophets and the pure and natural way. They had turned to man-made idols out of ignorance and pride, taking gods besides Allah so that His oneness was denied. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Louder, join in, brothers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah. Angels bathed his heart in Zamzam and replaced it in his chest. Those around him knew this blessed child was different from the rest. Raised by uncle Abu Talib after both his parents died, though an orphan in his early years, Allah was by his side. He protected him and saved him from the evil and obscene. So trustworthy was he known to be, they called him Al-Amin. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah. Clouds would raise to shade him and the trees would bow down in respect. Those bestowed with sacred insight knew that he was the elect. As the prayer of Prophet Abraham and Jesus' good news, He was mentioned in the scriptures of the Christians and the Jews. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadun Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah. He was one of Bani Adam, but between himself and them was as though mankind were stones and as though he a priceless gem. Even if he had not come with any miracle or sign, just the sight of him would tell you that he came from the divine. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadun Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah.
Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah, we've already had the architect. Now for the architecture of a Muslim home, I would like to invite Hazrat Mawlana Sheikh Bilal Mamuniyat Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'ah, who is the Imam of Masjid Mahmudiyya and the head teacher at the madrasa there as well. MashaAllah, Maulana Sahib also serves in the prison service. So I would like to kindly request Hazrat Maulana to enlighten us. Jazakum Allah khairah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى صدق الله العظيم. Respected Honorable Ulama, Mashaykh, brothers and friends, mothers and sisters listening at home, we begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to gather together and to remind one another about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected friends, we thank the Ulama, the Aimmah, who have organized this program. And just by listening to the question and answer session, we understand and we realize it's an eye-opener of how many questions we have. And we're going to introspect and ask ourselves, how many times do we actually seek out our ulama? Long gone are the days of the ulama can't connect with us. They don't understand us. They don't understand our questions. We don't know how to connect with them. There's a language barrier. Long gone are them days. Alhamdulillah, the ulama are present. They are here to answer our questions, to guide us. And in reality, our success is in following our mashayikh, our ulama, their teachings, their footsteps. The topic at hand is the architecture of a Muslim home. Why is a Muslim home very important? We go to the teachings of Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah Ta'ala, one of the greatest and leading scholars of our generation. And he writes in one place that the home is the backbone to society. If there is a healthy marital relationship, which then descends to the children, and the children are brought up in a healthy environment, that will then lead into society. One box fills the second, to the third, to the fourth. And when every home in society is filled with muhabba, is filled with iman and a'mal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon that place. As we look at the verse of the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That had the people believed and had taqwa. When we look into the Quran and Ahadith, every single thing has two conditions, iman and taqwa, iman and a'mal saliha. When there's iman and a'mal saliha, along with that comes success. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. A person has iman, coupled with a'mal saliha, his ending abode is Jannatul Firdaus. We look into the chapters of nikah. A person, before he even gets married, we look at when the nikah is taking place, the imam sahab taking the nikah, he'll read the verses. He'll read three verses. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. O people, fear your Lord. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqoo allaha haqqa tuqati. O those who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqoo allaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Those who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak in an orderly manner. So when we look at the Quran and Ahadith everywhere, Iman and A'mal Saliha, Iman and Taqwa. If a person has Iman, had they believed and had Taqwa, what would have happened? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have opened for them blessings from the heavens and the earth. So, what are these blessings? What is barakah? Under the tafsir of this ayah, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Uthmani rahimahullah ta'ala in Ma'ariful Quran, he writes that whenever there's iman and taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends. As soon as iman and taqwa leave, then that place is filled with the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he mentions, look at modern day society. There is endless amount of information. We have so much information, the infrastructure, the knowledge at hand, AI, everything we have. Yet the ummah is falling behind. Yet the ummah is in a calamity. Yet the ummah is parishan. The ummah is struggling. Why? Because we have left the two most important components, which are iman and taqwa. So then how do we acquire iman and taqwa? How do we fill our homes with iman and taqwa? Inshallah, in the following slides, we'll try and unpick how we can fill our homes with iman and taqwa. Everything has an exterior, but in reality, the interior matters. The Quran says in Surah Al-Shams, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. You go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your outer might not be so beautiful, but if you have purified your inner, then قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. If you purified your inner, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, then you are successful. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. When you feared Allah Azza wa Jal, you've purified your inner. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. A person stays away from the inner evils. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then he enters into Jannah. So my dear brothers, when it comes to our home, it's not the doors that matter. What sort of a door do I have? A long handle, a short handle? How many windows does it have? What sort of locks does it have? What sort of windows have I got? What sort of blinds do I have? What sort of carpet do I have? Are my blinds those that I can sit in my place and, you know, I press the button and they come down? Hive, or I sit in my car, I leave work, I turn you on, and that's it. By the time I come home to my recliner sofas. All these things are there. But is that what makes a home? Let's try and unpick, inshallah, in the coming slides. So there's the three phase blueprint. Number one is cleanse. Number two is protect. And number three is adorn. Cleansing comes before protection, and protection comes before adornment. Like I mentioned, the first thing is to purify ourselves. Let's cleanse. What does the Quran say? لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes mention of the masjid which is built on taqwa. It is better. فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. Who are those people that populate that masajid? Those who love to be pure. Pure from the outer and the inner. So the first thing we need to do before we do anything is cleanse our homes. What do we need to cleanse our homes from? Number one, from spiritual dirt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that shayateen seeks entry through negligence. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is not mentioned upon entering, he claims the home. When it's not mentioned before eating, he claims the provision. My dear brothers, all of us here, sat here, we've been through our maktab system. We've all read Zarurul Muslimin, the yellow book, the small green book. We've all read the dua by our teachers when entering the home. Let's ponder for a second upon the meaning of this dua. We enter our homes with our right foot and we read the dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka. O Allah, I seek from you. What do I seek from you? What do I ask from you? Khayr al-mawlaj, the best of entry. Wa khayr al-makhraj, the best of exits. Bismillahi walajna, wa bismillahi kharajna, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّنَا تَوَكَّلْنَا. With Allah's name we enter. With Allah's name we exit. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّنَا تَوَكَّلْنَا. And we hand all our affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers, when we enter our home, just stop for a second. Before we walk through our front door from tomorrow or from when we go home, just stop for a second. As we enter, read the dua. Concentrate upon the meaning. Allahumma inni as'aluk. Oh Allah, I am entering my home. You could enter your home. You don't know what's there awaiting you. What calamity could befall you tonight? You know, a guy, he goes to sleep. And somebody, he's doing a hit in the street. He gets the wrong house. He shoots at his house. He petrol bombs his house. The entire family dies. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to wake up to a clean, a pure house. Let's read the dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawlaj. The best of entry, the best of exit. Bismillahi walajna. With Allah's name we enter. Bismillahi kharajna. With Allah's name we exit. Wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. We hand all our affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal. But when Allah's name isn't mentioned, we enter our home, we walk in through the door, we've entered the house, then that's an entry for shaitan. Now we've let shaitan come into our sanctity, into our private space. And let's reflect on our homes. Let's ask ourselves, are our homes filled with any of these three things? Music that dominates the atmosphere. What does music do? It corrupts the heart. You know, sometimes you think, it's only a song. It's only a song. Children will pick up the song. They'll pick up the lyrics. Play it for 1 week, play it for 2 weeks. And that song will be on their tongues. Number two, indecent images and unrestrained content on screens. Like Maulana mentioned earlier, it's not just the telly anymore. It's the iPads, the smartphones. Are we in control of our children's smartphones? There's so many apps out there, Family Link and whatever else. You know, people come, Maulana Sahib, not just, you know, to different ulama, they complain, Maulana Sahib, have a chat with my son. He doesn't go to sleep early on the night. Boy, why don't you put a timer on his phone? Boy, why are you not ahead of the game? We should be ahead of the game. Why are we putting our children in control of their smartphones? Put a timer on their phones. 9 o'clock, 8:30, whatever, their phone goes off. We're in control. Let us be in control. Let us be ahead of the game. If they're one step ahead, we're two steps ahead, three steps ahead, four steps ahead. If we have the intention, if we walk on that path, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors for us. Make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number three, foul language, shouting and constant anger. Homes are built on love and muhabba. As we look into the slides ahead, how the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, how Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was with our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the tone, the helping, the loving manner. You know, sometimes we say, my son, he doesn't have respect for the ulama. He doesn't have respect for the ulama. But then think about it, when we come home, in our conversation, unknowingly, we're slagging the imam sahab off. Aajab ulam bhi namaz padhavi. Aajab pina mausab ni wadi che, pili masjid ma jao ma faido che. Ito 5 minutes wadhe lagawe. Wadhe rekhe che mausab to. Unknowingly, we're putting this in our children's head. You come back after Jummah, oh, Ajab ulam bo khud bo kariyo. Aajab mausab ek hechi kariyo. Now that we don't know, we're just saying it out of it's our opinion, which is wrong. It's our opinion, but our child's picking this up. He's picking this up. And the next time you say to him, you respect your masab, you don't respect masab, and you're telling us to respect him. Leave here how. So the language we use, the tone of our speaking, how we engage with our spouse, how we engage with our children, this has an impact. Remember, whatever they learn at home, they will go out and they will share that. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam makes mention that those houses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not remembered resembles graves. How? A grave may be clean and orderly. Yes, yet it is lifeless. Likewise, a home may be comfortable and busy, yet spiritually dead. Cleansing begins with the deliberate removal of what is normalized and repeated daily. So as we mentioned, that our homes, they have to be spiritually high. It doesn't matter if you have the best furniture in the home. It's where we find content. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contentment is in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. When our homes are cleansed from dirt and evil and are replaced by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, it is written regarding him that on a night he would sit with his grandchildren and he would read the stories of the pious predecessors of our mashayikh to understand who they were, what sacrifices they have given. We do some sort of ta'aleem in our home. We change the atmosphere of our home. Inshallah, when we do that, we'll see the changes in ourselves. We'll see the changes in our children. Number two, a cleansed home left unguarded will be re-entered. Protection in Islam is not symbolic. It is practical and consistent. The walls and pillars of a Muslim home are built with worship. Now, how do we ensure that this spirituality, when we've removed the vices, when there's no music in our home, when there's no evil in our home, we replace that with what? With our ibadat, which is consistent, with our ibadat, which is practical. Number one, what do we do? Salah. What does the Quran say? In Surah Taha, the last page of on the 16th juz, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family to pray salah and be steadfast upon it. It is written that the Sahaba, Idban ibn Malik, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, other Sahaba, they would call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their homes. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam would go to their homes. He would pray nawafil in their homes. Wherever there's iman, there's a'mal saliha. That home will be filled with barakah. Our homes, we go, we read our salah, our nawafil. Before we come to the masjid, if there's time, encourage the children, fajr salah, two sunnats, make them read the two sunnat muakkada of fajr salat at home. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the first rakah, qul huwallahu ahad in the second rakah. The children know this, emphasize this to them. Make them read the salah at home, the sunan, the nawafil at home, and then bring them to the masjid for the first salah. Inshallah, when our children, they see us observing salah, practicing salah, this will then go into them. And then when we're out on our travels, it's a holiday period, we're going away, we're meeting family, we're going to other destinations, take a musalla with us. Keep a musalla in the car. Make sure the timetable is with us. The children, when it's ingrained into them, when you go out, you'll be surprised. They'll be asking you, when is it salah time? Where are we going to read our salah? These winter months when namaz are very close together, make sure that they are punctual upon their salah. These are conversations that we have at home. So number one, salah. Ensure the women folk are reading their salah. When the boys are going to the masjid, the women folk are at the home and they are observing their salah, they are reading their salah, they are punctual on their salah. Number two, the shield, the recitation of the Quran. Tilawat of the Quran, it softens hearts. It repels harm and anchors the household in remembrance. The Quran alters the unseen environment of the home. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that shaitan flees from a home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. My dear brothers, the Quran Al-Kareem, we have a very powerful tool. The Quran Al-Kareem is a shield. Before we go to sleep on a night, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, gather the children, make them read Surah Al-Mulk. Our mashayikh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, makes mention that Surah Al-Kahf safeguards from the trials and tribulations of Dajjal. Our mashayikh, our teachers, so many mention that when Surah Al-Kahf, if it safeguards from the great fitna of Dajjal, then surely it will safeguard from the small trials and tribulations we face on a daily basis. On a Thursday evening, on a Friday morning before going to school, gather the children. Half an hour, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, make them read Surah Al-Kahf. The difficulties we are facing, inshallah, with the barakah of this surah, with the barakah of the Quran, will remove from our homes. Our homes will be filled with barakah. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Musa Badasab, rahmatullahi alayhi, would make mention in his majalis that if you can't read the entire Suratul Kahf, at least read the first ruku and the last ruku of Suratul Kahf. The first 10 ayat and the last 10 ayat of Suratul Kahf as a bare minimum. My brothers, we can do this, inshallah. It just takes a bit of an urge, a push. And inshallah, once we see the barakah, once we see the blessings of these a'mal that are taking place in our homes, inshallah, the whole, the dynamics of our home will change. Number three, true adornment begins after the structure is secure. Adornment does not begin with decoration, but with obedience and character. It is the beauty of a lived faith that fills the space. Adorning with mercy and gentle leadership. Number one, adornment in marriage. What does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That marriage is a place of tranquility, affection and mercy. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. Spouses become garments for one another. They overlook each other's mistakes and shortcomings. They help one another. They support one another. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ. That a person, a man, he is responsible for his home. And he will be asked regarding his home. The woman, she'll be asked regarding her home. The mother, the husband and the wife, they work together. How can we better our children? How can we bring our children? How can we do tarbiyah to our children? You know, we were sat in one of the classrooms with the ulama, and a discussion came up that there's a big issue with haircuts in madrasas. So one mawsab he mentioned, rightly so, he said, mawsab, we can't do anything. So we can't punish the children if they have shawbak and sides, or if the hair size 5 up and skin fade at the bottom. So the children come to madrasa and say, my dad took me to the barbers. My dad's got skin fade. My dad told the barbers, you have to cut his hair like that. So we can't punish the children for the dad's mistake. So my dear brothers, it comes with working together. It comes with working together. Harshness, sarcasm, emotional neglect drive barakah away. We bring our families together. Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi is written in one place that on the Dastar Khan, when we sit down to eat, have light-hearted conversations for it digests the food better and quicker. Look at the depths Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi has gone, the great Mufti. Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi. Number two, adornment in leadership. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, when we read the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our beloved mothers, with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of people to his family. He never struck them, never humiliated them, never used authority to oppress. Have conversations with our children. Support them. As they grow up, they go through different phases in life, different challenges, different circumstances. Let us be that father. Let us be that mother. Let our home be that where the children are comfortable. They can come to us with their problems. They can speak to us. We can support them. So they don't go elsewhere looking for solutions to their issues. We see so many people. So many people. And so many people that have fallen foul of the law, or have fallen into very, very unhealthy habits. The root cause of the problem is a broken home. When there's no stability at home, the child looks for love elsewhere. He looks for muhabbat elsewhere. He looks for solutions to his problems elsewhere. That's where he goes here, he goes there, he goes there. He falls into the wrong crowd. He does the wrong things. He ends up in the wrong places. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for our children. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We aim and rectify our homes. And that nurturing faith and sustaining with purity. Children raised in such a home experience iman as something lived, not merely spoken. When they see contradiction between words and actions, confusion enters their hearts. You know, think of it this way. A young child, he enters into Hifz class. He's had a very hard day at madrasa. He's been awake in the morning. He's woke up in the morning. He's learning his sabak. He then goes into the madrasa. He struggles at madrasa. He comes home and he wants some support. He comes home and understand, look at the difference. the two scenarios. Number one, he comes home. He's had a difficult day at madrasa. He's come home and he wants some support. He wants somebody just to reassure him that tomorrow's another day. It's going to be okay. It happens. He comes home. His dad's on the sofa. He's watching the football. Mom's in the other room. She's on her phone. Sister's on the tablet. Brother's doing his homework. Everyone's on the devices. Or they're all watching a movie together. Dad says to him, yeah, you didn't know your sabak. Go into the other room. Learn your Quran Sharif. Now think about how demoralized that child's going to get. On the other hand, think of that child. He comes home. He's had a difficult day at madrasa. You know, the child walks in. He's crying to his dad. I didn't know my sabak. He's crying to his mom. And the mom and dad say to him, look, beta, it happens. Why don't we do this? For the next 15, 20, 25 minutes, whilst you learn your Quran Sharif, we'll all read our Quran Sharif. We'll do our individual ma'amulat. We'll read our Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, Surah Waqia, whatever we need to read. And inshallah, we'll support you in that way. That child will give those parents dua. On the other hand, that child, he'll be wanting to leave his classes quicker than the other. The role of provision. Barakah is tied to lawful provision. Think about where our income is coming from. Is my earning halal? Wealth earned through haram means even if abundant, poisons the atmosphere of the household. Lawful earnings, even if modest, nourish the home with contentment and stability. Look at our earnings. Where am I earning from? What am I earning? Is it halal? Is it lawful? There is no sort of haram income in my money. Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. The prophets are instructed, eat which is pure. Our income will have an impact on the food that we eat. A home which has home-cooked meals is 100 times better than takeaway food. That home which is built on iman, a'mal, taqwa. And we conclude on a story which our Shaykh Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentioned. He says, I went to a household. I was visiting a Maulana in UP, in Uttar Pradesh, in India. And the Maulana said, he said, Hazrat, mere ghar pe tashreef lai, Hazrat, come to my house. Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, I went with him. And he said, I've got a young daughter. He says, I've got a young daughter. She's never had any formal education. She's not been to a madrasa. She's not read the Ahsan al-Qawaid. She's not read the Para'i'am. But she has memorized the entire Amma Juz. She's memorized the entire Amma Juz. She's not read this Amma Juz looking inside. Hazrat said, okay, bring her. So the young girl, she came and she started reading Amma Yatasa'alun. Hazrat said, okay, read another surah. She said, I read another surah. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he mentioned, he says, I asked the Maulana, he said, what's the raz? What's the secret here? He says, Hazrat, my wife and her sister, they're in the kitchen together all day. They are both hafiza. They recite whilst cooking, they recite the Quran Sharif to each other. And this child, she roams around. And upon listening to the Quran from her mother and from her aunt, she has picked up the entire Amma Juz. My dear brothers, understand the impact our homes will have on our children. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ.
Jazakumullah khairah. Now inshallah we'll be having a short tea break. So before we have our tea break, whilst we're in Madinat al-Munawwara, we're with Mufti Shakir Sahib, who was our ziyarat guide, and he mentioned that chai ki char sifat honi chahiye. A cup of tea should have four qualities. Number one, labrez ho, yani bari hui ho. First quality is that the cup should be full. Number two, sabdoz ho, itni meethi ho ke hont chipak jaye. It should be so sweet that the lips stick together. Labsoz ho, itni garam ho ke hont jal jaye. It should be so hot that the lips burn. Or shabaroz ho, subah bhi ho, sham bhi ho. And you should have it twice a day, one cup in the morning, one cup in the evening. So when I was learning it, I was thinking, how do I remember the Urdu? Because labdoz, labsoz. So the easy way I found to remember is that D and S comes, labdos and labsos. So DS, and I remember that through our DS cooks. So that's a nice way, easy way to remember. Alhamdulillah. So now, inshallah. But he also mentioned that at the end we should do istighfar, because generally when a person has a cup of tea, he forgets to recite Bismillah, and sometimes if the tea is too hot, he starts blowing on the tea as well, which is something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam discourages to do. So let us be mindful of the adabs of a cup of tea, and inshallah we'll gather here again at 10:15. Is that okay? 10 minutes, 10:10, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.